So with the World Cup going on, I was thinking about one of my favorite shows of all time, Ted Lasso. All right, do we have any Ted Lasso fans?
Just recent.
Okay. They're actually coming up on a season four.
Yes.
Yeah, it was originally ended with three seasons. In there, there's a character, Danny Rojas. He's an enthusiastic player. He's the one that goes around saying, "Football is life! Football is life!" Football gives him joy. Of course, as the seasons go on, it also, we see, gives him purpose, identity, and belonging. There's so much to him, this game of football, or soccer, as we shall say. In our text today, Peter makes a deep confession. That's why I've been asking us to sing that part before the gospel during this summer season. It's from this text that those words come. Peter makes a deep confession. Jesus is the one who has the words of eternal life. So Danny Rojas says, "Football is life." Peter today in our text reminds us that Jesus is life. He offers himself in a vivid and an unsettling way today. He's talking about those who follow him must drink his blood and eat his flesh. But keep in mind, when this was written, a full sacramental theology hadn't been developed. That is, he's not exactly talking about Holy Communion. We read back into that and we can see the connections. But he's more about the metaphor of totally giving himself over to those who would take him in, those who would consume him. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Right? He's not offering a principle, a program, a set of instructions. Jesus is offering his very self. His flesh is given over for the life of the world. And of course we know that on the cross the flesh would die, given for the life of the world. The language he uses for eat, it's quite a different word in the Greek. It's not your regular word. It's a little bit deeper. It's more of a physical, it's more of an earthly, a disturbing language. It's to eat. This is no tea party. Right? This is eating ribs. You get into it. Jesus gives himself, he invites us to give ourselves totally over into this receiving Jesus. And so there are those who are disturbed by this language. One of the papers I wrote in seminary so many years ago now was talking about the prophet Micah. Well, one of the things I did was research how much of a taboo, of course, cannibalism was. It still is, but back in the day, you know, nobody went around talking about eating each other's flesh and blood. It was unholy, it was profane, it crossed a boundary like nothing else. When Jesus says, not only are you going to ask you to do it, but do it wholeheartedly, do it with your whole self, people turn away. They're disturbed. But for those who stick around and listen further, there's a deeper disturbance, perhaps, that comes to the surface. Something that offends us more deeply than thinking about eating someone else is the dependence upon Jesus for life. The language about flesh and blood is difficult, no denying that. But the deeper difficulty is the claim that you have no life in you. Right? Jesus reminds us we do not possess eternal life within ourselves. We cannot create it through knowledge or virtue, effort or achievement. We need to receive the life that is within us from outside ourselves. So Jesus offers that life. Jesus gives difficult teachings, yes, but he's much more than just a teacher or a master, a spiritual guru. He is a savior. When Jesus challenges those around him to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. He's not just using, again, graphic language. He's inviting those around him to understand that they need to admit they need saving in order for him to be their savior. They simply cannot do it themselves. And so one of the tricks we've come up with over the years to kind of play both sides here, to have a toe in each pool, is we try to supplement Jesus. To add a little something to Jesus so we can still feel like we have some part in this saving. And so we add things, we say things like, the most important thing is faith, family, and friends. Or faith, hope, and hustle. Perhaps you've heard church, family, and career, the most important things. Or as we come up on our celebration, July 4th, God and country. My least favorite, God, guts, and guns. Now, in each of these, they may intend to put God first in the list, but it's still making God one thing, one good thing among other good things. Right? When we do this, Jesus is not just one item on the list, and that's where we place him. Doesn't even do to make Jesus first on the list. We need to understand we are called by Jesus in this text, and Peter's reaction that Jesus is the reason there is a list at all. Everything else that is important in our lives comes after the understanding that Jesus has offered us that life. Family, friendship, work, church, country, all gifts, but none of them give life. Jesus is life. And so Peter gives these wonderful words, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So I grew up using the old green LBW, and we sang that every Sunday, except for Lent, because it has the Alleluia in it. And they were good words to hear, a reminder that as we stood for the gospel reading, that Jesus was going to speak to us and give us words of eternal life. But it wasn't until seminary that I had to rethink these words. And I'm thankful to my liturgics professor, Dr. Mark Oldenburg, who once one session was talking about it. And the way he used the words, it was a plaintive, almost confessional voice, or tone in his voice. It's a sense of helplessness. Lord, to whom else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Right? Peter is recognizing, using this rhetorical question, the truth is that nowhere else, no one else offers life. Peter isn't saying that the teaching's easy. He's not even saying that he likes what Jesus said. But Peter recognizes that he cannot save himself. He cannot find eternal life somewhere more agreeable. He has come to believe and know who Jesus is. From time to time, Peter and the disciples found Jesus quite difficult. We too may find Jesus difficult. The things he says, the things that he offers, the claim that he makes on our lives, the invitation to die with him, Jesus may unsettle us. But Jesus is the one with the words of eternal life. Like it or not, Jesus is it. Because Jesus is life! Amen.